Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to start a series. We are going to make this a series of messages on walking with God. Walking with God. And we're going to begin this morning using Enoch as our illustration. And so we'll use his life as an outline for our series on walking with God. Not a lot's mentioned about Enoch. And so he's mentioned three times in the scripture. And we'll cover those three real quick. And then we'll get into walking with God. So here of late, more so than I've had in a long time, I've had a lot of questions about what does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? And so just this question came to me just a few weeks ago, but it's been coming to me several times. So I said, you know what we'll do? We're going to go over this morning how to walk with God very practically. So this is going to be more of a Sunday night message and really almost a Sunday school lesson. How to walk with God. And so there are three different things in Enoch's life that covers that. We're just going to cover the first one this morning. And then over the next few weeks, we'll review the first one and then cover the rest of them. So again, this morning, how to have a daily walk. How to have a personal, meaningful relationship with God. How to have a personal, meaningful relationship with the Lord. Look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11:5. If you can get over there as I do, that's fine. If not, I'm going to read it to you. Enoch is also mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch was not, for God took him. And then the book of Jude, Enoch is mentioned, the book of Jude and verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all, listen to this, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That was Enoch's sermon. Enoch was a preacher. So the Old Testament doesn't tell us that. The New Testament tells us. The New Testament gives us further insight into Enoch's and his life. But Enoch was not, for God took him. One day, Enoch and God were walking together. And God just said, hey, we're closer to my house than yours. Won't you just come on up with me? And God took him. They walked together. What a testimony. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you would bless again the reading of your word. And may we again see in its simplicity a meaningful relationship and walk with you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How did Enoch walk with God? Well, first off, understand that Enoch walked with God literally. Literally walked with God. In other words, God, in an Old Testament appearance, in a human form, in a human body, appeared unto Enoch and walked with him. That's what the Bible indicates, and that's what the Bible seems to infer as we look here. We also know this because he's done it in the past. We think of the law of first mention. So the first mention of the word walk is found in Genesis chapter 3. We won't go there either, but Adam and Eve, after they had transgressed, after they had sinned, God appeared to them and walked with them, or was going to walk with them in the evening. And Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes, remember? And God said, hey, where you at? But it seems, and we know throughout the rest of Scripture, that Adam and Eve walked with God. Literally walked with God. And so we think about the living Word as God appeared in the Old Testament, theophany, in the form of Jesus Christ, and walked with Adam and Eve. And walked with Enoch. So literally walked with them. Now, I'm telling you, when we refer to walking with God, we're not referring to literally walking with him.
We're not physically going to walk with God. If you do that, then you ate something that caused indigestion and caused some kind of vision or whatever happened to you. But God does not deal that way anymore. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God who at sundry times, different times and diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. In other words, God speaks through His Word.
Amen.
Through the written Word. He no longer speaks in visions. He no longer speaks in dreams. And certainly you can be impacted by a dream, but understand that God doesn't speak to us. He doesn't speak to us by way of those. He speaks to us by way of His Word. Amen? By the way, if you have a dream that doesn't match up with this, your dream's wrong. Amen? All right, so I don't want to go. That's a whole other message. But God, walking with God in this day and age is not literally walking with Him physically, but walking with God is walking with Him through His written Word. All right, so Adam and Eve walked with God physically. Enoch walked with God physically. We walk with God spiritually. They walk with the living Word. We walk with Him through the written Word. Everybody with me? I'm telling you, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. I hope then to know there's some new Christians in here, and some of you have been Christians for 50 years. And so some of you are going to turn me off, may have already done so. I know this is maybe simplistic in its presentation, but it's so important that each of us as Christians have a daily walk with God. Enoch walked with God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch testified. He testified to others and so forth. In other words, he walked with God, but he also pleased God. He pleased God by his testimony and by what he did. So walking with God is not just about reading the Word of God, but it's also about applying the Word of God. All right? So you can read your Bible and pray every day and still not have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll illustrate it this way. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of Israel during the time of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees were required to memorize the first five books of the Bible. In other words, they knew their Bible. They read their Bible. They fasted and prayed and went to the temple. They did all the things outwardly. But Jesus said to them, you clean the cup on the outside, but on the inside it's dirty. He said, your sepulcher is white on the outside, but on the inside it's full of dead man's bones. So you can outwardly do things for the Lord. You can outwardly do those things, but it's one thing if you don't mean it on the inside. But it's also the reverse. You can do all those things inwardly and never do things outwardly and still not be a spiritual person. Let me clarify again. What we do does not necessarily make us spiritual, but it certainly puts us in a position to be spiritual. Hello? In other words, what we do does not make us spiritual, but it puts us in a position where God can make us spiritual, where God can use us. I want to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. In order to be worthy of being used of God, then I must do some things and not do some things. So we're back to the do's and the don'ts. People say, I don't like the do's and the don'ts in the Bible. Well, good. There's a lot of them. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. We're all under grace. Absolutely, we're under grace. But grace was given to us to empower us to do the will of God. Paul said over and over again that grace is not a license to do whatever you want to do. We live in a society, we live in a religious culture today that says, hey, it's under grace we can do whatever we want. It's under grace we can live however we want. We can dress however we want. We can use whatever words we want. We can watch whatever we want. And that's absolutely far from the truth of what the Bible preaches and teaches. Sure, when it comes to salvation, you do what you want. In other words, you're saved. You're saved for all eternity. And doing things is not going to affect whether you go to heaven or not. Amen. But Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. See, I don't want to do those things. I have a new nature. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, if you got saved and the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, what the Bible describes in Corinthians, We are the temple of God. Hello? Something that big shows up in your life? Something that big abides inside of you and lives inside of you? You'll want nothing else than to please Him. You'll want to please the Heavenly Father. You'll want to live right. You'll want to do right. Now, we don't always do right. Our flesh is strong, isn't it? But we certainly want to do right. All right, so back full circle. Walking with God is about walking in the written Word of God. It's about praying, speaking with God. Adam and Eve got to literally speak with God, just like we're talking this morning. They got to talk to God verbally, right? Enoch walked with God. He got to talk with God verbally, just one-on-one. They're walking together. They're talking and fellowshipping together. But we get to talk to God every day as well, spiritually, through prayer. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is our greatest weapon. We need to remember to pray every day. So, in Enoch's life, I want to again cover the first section. So, Enoch walked with God. Hebrews says Enoch walked with God and that he pleased the Lord. So, that's going to be about the doing. So, again, as Christians, our education has far exceeded our application. So, in the next few weeks, we'll talk about some of those things. And we'll use the book of Ephesians as our outline. Walk in love. Walk in light. Walk worthy. And we'll go over some of those messages. And we'll actually do expository-type messages the next few weeks through those subjects. So, I look forward to that. Been a while. But today, the outline is, he walked with God. Then number two is he pleased the Lord. Number three, in Jude, he's telling others and warning others of the pending judgment. All right, so everybody see the three-point outline, right? It's pretty easy. Read your Bible, pray every day, right? Apply the Word of God and tell others. And I didn't have to come up with that outline. It's right there. Enoch's life, the three mentions of his life line up with what we're going to be speaking on the next few weeks. Enoch walked with God. How are we to walk with God? Enoch lived in a wicked society and yet walked with God. Enoch lived in an evil day and yet walked with God. In other words, Enoch had to make the choice to walk with God. And we as Christians must make that choice to walk with God. Relationship with God. How to have that personal relationship with the Lord. By the way, when we talk about walking infers progress. Walking with God. That we make progress in the Christian life. How are we to do this? How are we to have a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ? What are the requirements, if you would, to have a meaningful relationship? Well, number one is you got to meet the person. I know this is simple. But in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to meet them. I hope this morning you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope there's been a time in your life where you can look back and say, yes, at the age of 6 years old, I knelt in my pastor's office, and there I asked God to forgive me my sins, and I told him that I believed that his son lived, died, and rose again for me, that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Has there been a point in time in your life when you have met the Savior? Has there been a point in time when you have called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? The Bible says that there's a penalty for sin. And we are all sinners. We're all sinners by nature. We're all sinners by disposition. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. The Bible says, for the wages of the penalty of sin is death. Death. Death is the penalty. The judgment of sin is death. Revelation chapter 19 says that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's not just about physical death, it's about spiritual death. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And for those who do not accept Christ as Savior, for those who do not trust in Jesus, the judgment of that is death, hell, and the grave. I want to remind you, too, that Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. The only way to have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven is through Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, you're narrow-minded. Well, the Bible's a narrow-minded book. Jesus Christ's own words, not my words, not somebody else's words, not some philosopher's words, but Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He didn't say I was part of the way. He didn't say I was the best way. He said emphatically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to have our sins forgiven, to escape hell and have a home in heaven. Do you know the Savior this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Man, what a thought this morning. By the way, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says that He created all things for His good pleasure. In other words, God desires a personal relationship with you. God desires a meaningful, personal relationship with you. And this morning, you can have that personal relationship by simply trusting in Him, in Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. That's something we can do at the end of service. We have an invitation every service. We sing some songs, a song at the end of the service, and you're welcome to come down to the altar, and a person here will show you from the Bible. A counselor will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. So in order to have a meaningful relationship with God, in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you must first off accept Christ as your personal Savior. And it's really just as simple as a meeting. I'll never forget when I was 13 years old at church, Bible Baptist Church in Nakona, Texas, the big city of Nakona, 2,800 people, in a little Baptist church, Bible Baptist Church that my dad helped start when I was 11. And the whole church was building as 2,000 square feet, still is. Church ran about 35, still does. And so I remember the day that a young lady walked into the service. She was 13 as well. Boy, howdy. Black-headed. Whatever. My wife, my future wife, walks into the church building. Her parents and their three other siblings. And I met Tanya Ryan for the first time. Over a period of time, we dated off and on through high school sweethearts, and we got married. But had we never met, we'd have never had a relationship. This morning, you want a relationship with Jesus Christ? You must come and meet Him first. You must come to Him, and He wants that. And then once salvation happens, we are to and talk about requirements for a meaningful relationship. The next step, of course, is time spent. Time spent. In other words, time spent together. In a relationship with my wife, we met when we were 13. I told my dad at 15 I was going to marry her. At age 17, we got engaged. And at age 18, we got married. Now, I would not recommend that for young people today. But for us, it was the right thing, and I have no doubt it was. It's still the right thing for us. But that relationship began when we were 13, but has continued all these years. We've been married 25 years, and 26 years next month. No, yes. Don't let me mess this up. Yes, 26 years next month. It's a relationship that has spread over a lot of time, but it's a relationship that has required some things. In order to have a meaningful relationship with someone, there are some things that you got to do. You say, well, preacher, you said that Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. That's absolutely true. Having a personal relationship, though, does require some things. If I'm going to have a personal relationship with my wife, there are some things that need to be put in place, because if I never talk to her, we're not going to have a meaningful relationship. If I never spend time with her, we're never going to have a meaningful relationship. Hello? Right? And women love to talk. I mean, absolutely. About everything. Hello? Some of you men? No? Okay, I'm good. My wife's out of town today, so I can talk about however I want to. But time spent together, a personal relationship requires time. I know this, again, this is very simplistic, but in order to have an effective and personal, meaningful relationship, we must communicate with the one we want to have that relationship with. In other words, there has to be time spent communicating and talking together. We think about Adam and Eve walking with the Lord, and Enoch walking with the Lord. In other words, if we are going to have a personal relationship with Jesus, we must walk with Him, spiritually speaking. And that's by the written word of God. The written word of God. This is how the Lord communicates to us. All right? Now, we communicate him to him through prayer, right? But he communicates us through his word. We understand he communicates through his creation. Communicates by way of his Holy Spirit. Understand those things. But his primary form, primary means of communicating to us is the word of God. It's actually the Holy Spirit that helps us and enlightens us to understand what he's saying in the scriptures, right? And so we are to read the word of God. If we're going to walk with God, you must read the word of God. You must read the written word of God. God is wanting to communicate to you. He is wanting to talk to you. He does so by way of his word. Do you have a daily walk? Do you read your Bible daily? I was thinking about the first of the year, we always pass these out. And this is a daily Bible reading schedule. And in it, it starts in Genesis chapter 1 and runs all the way through. It's about three chapters a day you can read your Bible through in a year. I've always encouraged our church family to read their Bibles through. If you can't do it in a year, then do it in 2 years or do it in 3 years. But have a plan, right? Have a plan. I have a plan in place. Let's see, I think it's still in here. And I'm trying. I'm not going to make it, maybe. Hang on. Maybe not. Y'all don't care anyway. Must be laying on my... Oh, there it is. So this is my plan this year was to try... I started in March or April, trying to read the Bible through in 3 months. I'm not going to make it in 3 months, but I think I can make it in 4. And so reading your Bible through and reading the Bible daily is imperative. It is a requirement if you're going to have a personal relationship, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? And so this is one method of reading the Bible through. I like this method. I don't like the hip, the stop, skip, jump around, pogo stick reading Bible. In other words, I think you should read the Bible as it is written, from Genesis to Revelation. That's how it was intended to be read. Right? Because the New Testament writers wrote in light of that you already know your Old Testament. So when the apostles are writing, they're writing that in light of that you already have read the Old Testament. And one of the reasons why some of you have a difficult time understanding the New Testament is because you've never read the Old Testament. Let me say it again. The New Testament was written in light of that you already know your Old Testament. So when the writers are writing, they're assuming that you know your Old Testament. And so you must take time and read the Bible through. You say, well, preacher, I've read the Bible through a couple times, and now I just want to read the Gospel of John through 50 times. That's fine if you've read the Bible through a few times, but I would encourage you, especially new Christians, read your Bible through a few times before you start skipping around and jumping around and so forth, all right? And so I practiced that in my own life. It's a good practice. It really is. And so, will you say, preacher, I read Genesis, but I also go and read a proverb a day. I'm not saying that to stop doing that. A proverb a day, which is what we did when I was a kid, is great because there's 30 of them. And it kind of matches a monthly. But reading the Bible through, very, very important. So having that daily walk, walking with the Lord, reading our Bible through. He's communicating to us through his word. We communicate with him, of course, through prayer. Now, prayer is not a subject I want to spend an entire service on right now anyway. But let me just say in simplicity, praying is nothing more than speaking to your dad. It really is that. If we could get in our own minds that when we are praying, we're just speaking to the Father, that we're just speaking to our dad. I call my dad almost every Sunday night, or at least he calls me, we both, but we communicate together 99% of the time every Sunday night. He lives at two hours and 15 minutes away. I love my dad. I'm glad he's still around. I got to spend a week with him here a while back. Him and I took a vacation together. We plan on doing that every year from here on out. Florida let us, and my brother's going to join us. I want to spend time with my dad. I want to take that time, and I just want to do that. I think it's also an encouragement to him as well, after losing my mom three years ago. But communicating with my dad. So when I'm talking to my dad, I'm just talking to him. Everybody good? Everybody's all right? This is a different kind of service. Everybody's good? All right. I'm talking to my dad. I just talk to him. There's not a lot of formality. There's, you know, right? I just talk to him. When I was a younger adult, after I first got married, I was a little prideful in that I never asked my dad for nothing. In fact, when I got married, I said, I'm not going to be like my other siblings.
Are they listening to them? Sorry, Danny. I'll throw you under the bus.
All right. So I'm not going to ask my dad for nothing. For the first 10 years, I absolutely asked my dad almost virtually for nothing. I said, I can handle this. I don't need it. I don't need his stuff. I don't need his money. We got this. I was pretty adamant about it. Then, you know what? Kind of got over that. Oh, some of you laugh. Some of you the same way. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a few times, especially when we started this church, and some other times, hey, things got a little tight. I said, Dad, would you like to buy some guns from me? We keep it in the family. I sold him a few guns, maybe more than a few. And so there's some other things over the years that as I grew as an adult, as I kind of got over my prideful conditions, that, you know, hey, Dad, can you do this? And I'm thankful he can ask me for things as well. I mean, we have that kind of relationship. In fact, I've told him many, many times, Dad, just let me know. And I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a second. I'm not too busy. Please let me pastor you. I am not too busy. If you're sick in the hospital, please call. And Brother Cox is going to visit you. Brother Wiggins is going to visit you. Others will visit you. But I want to visit you as well. If I absolutely can, I'm going to be there. And I tell my dad all the time. He says, well, you're busy. I said, Dad, I want to help you. You just let me know. You know, let me know. Give me a date, you know. If you need to drive T-posts, get somebody else. No, I'll drive T-posts. We'll build fence. Whatever you need. And he needs to do some things here pretty soon. Anyway. But we just talk, you know. We spend time together. We talk. When you're praying, you're talking to your Abba, your daddy, your papa, your father. You talk to him. You know, I do like the outline, and I would use this in my own life. Pray. It's an acrostic. Pray. Right? Praise him for who he is. Take a little time to praise him, to worship him. Before you jump right in and start asking for stuff, right? Right? Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. In other words, take a little time to praise him. And then number two, R, repent. The psalmist says if you have sin in your life, God will not hear your prayer. That's pretty stern. The New Testament tells us if you have aught against a brother, like if you have aught against your wife, or if your wife has aught against, that God will not hear your prayer. So you need to be in right relationship with others around you. You need to have that sin forgiven. You just go to God and ask him to forgive you. By the way, we all sin. In fact, John says, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. And he wasn't talking to pagan people there. He was talking to Christians. Christians, we are sinners. Hello. So repent of your sins. A is ask. And I would encourage you to ask for others first. Right? What's the little boy we've been praying for, William? Little boy, William, 2 years old. Infection, lots of things going on. Pray for him. I think about, it's good to see Jessica and Brandon here this morning. You know, having a miscarriage, a difficult time, and praying for them. So I'd encourage you to pray for others first. So ask is, by the way, the word pray means it means ask. If you're not asking, you're not really praying. Hello? Per se, by definition. So ask for others and then yourself. God's not opposed to you asking for things for yourself. And you take a little time and you pray for things. You pray through your list of prayer needs and you pray through your list for your kids and your family. Pray for your parents if they're still alive. You pray. You just keep praying. Amen? Just take some time and pray for them. And then yield. Y is yield. Yield to whatever God wants. Lord, and I get various people, even preachers, saying, well, brother, you ought to pray believing. I do pray believing. I pray believing that whatever God wants is what's going to happen. Hello? We yield to whatever he would have to do. It doesn't mean I have to tell him that. In other words, I don't have to say, Lord, you know, we want William, God, for you to heal William, this little 2-year-old boy. He needs God's touch. And God, would you heal him? And sometimes on my prayer, I'll say, Lord, if it be your will. But you don't have to tell him that. Right? It's kind of like telling somebody, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. I always say, I'll see you tomorrow. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Because we know none of us know about tomorrow. but yielding. So praying, reading our Bible, and praying, walking with God. Those two would be requirements for our relationship. Just like in my relationship with my wife, it's required that we communicate. Or else we will not have a meaningful relationship. In fact, I can tell you right now that if we don't communicate, I'm pointing here because it's usually where she sits. She's not there. If we don't communicate, I spoke my 12,000 words already, babe, for today. You got another 12,000 to go. I understand, right? How many of y'all been there, guys? Come home. Statistically, it says that men speak 12,000 words a day. Women speak 24,000 words a day. Men speak their 12,000 at work. They come home. They're done. Ladies, just getting started. They're halfway through. But I can tell you, if me and my wife do not communicate, there will not be a meaningful relationship. In fact, I would say to you, at some point, that relationship may fail completely. There must be dialogue. There must be communication. Key to marriage is communicating. Spending time with your spouse, talking with them. Hello, some marital advice. Spend some time talking together. Put the cell phone down. Put the iPad down. Turn the TV off and spend some meaningful time talking to each other. I have at times, and I'm going to start doing this even more, I thought about this week, of leaving my cell phone in other places. It's just constantly. And it's such a constant thing. We find ourselves on it all the time, and with our teenagers too. And so need to be careful. Communication. All right, so simplistic. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. He literally walked with God, walked with him, step by step, whatever. And so we walk with God spiritually by reading our Bible and by praying, spending time with him in that way. And as you talk to him, you're talking to your dad. You're talking with your dad. You're talking with your father. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is a lot like parental relationship. He is our Heavenly Father. We are his children. I'm thankful also it says that we are his friends. I'm thankful that at the age of 44, my dad's 68, that me and my dad are very, very, very close friends. In fact, he probably is my best friend, right? My Heavenly Father is my Heavenly Father, but he's also my very close friend. Abraham was the friend of God, right? And so we can have that, not only that parental type relationship with God, but we can have that friendship and that friendship with God. I'm thankful we can have a meaningful relationship with the Father. How? By spending time with him, communicating with him. I want to dwell on the point a little more that in order to do so requires some things. In other words, it's going to take some effort. Marriage is not easy. Marriages require effort. Any relationship requires effort. To have a friend, you must what? Be a friend. I find myself in this a lot, in that when the church was smaller, I had more closer friends to the people in the church. As the church has gotten bigger, I do not have as close of friends as I did before. Do I like that? No. It's just kind of the way I'm built. Is that just the way it is? Yes. Because of the time factor, right? This happens in everyone's life, not just the pastor's life. It happens because you got acquaintances at work, you have acquaintances at the gym, you have acquaintances wherever it is, and of course you have acquaintances here at the church. And so, but you find yourself eventually pulled to someone, or you meet someone, I'm not talking about your marriage necessarily, but that you find some things that you have, people that you have some commonality with. And then you find a relationship by talking about those things you have in common. Everybody good? I'm a Chevy person. I think Chevys are the best trucks built. All others are inferior product. Found on the road dead. Go dodge that stuff. Dodge it as good as you can. Okay, so you find similarities with people. You have sometimes similar personalities. And you find yourself, anyway, meeting certain people that you become friends with, even in this auditorium, especially in this auditorium. We have members who are close friends with other members, and then we have members who are acquaintances with others. How do you differentiate between those? It is by the time spent with them. and by the commonality. Amos says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If we're going to walk with God, we got the same things in common, right? We have some similarities, some similar likes. I'm thankful as I've grown in the Lord, I have some similar likes to the Lord, right? And love what He loves, so forth. And so, again, relationships takes effort. It takes time spent together. Spent together. I think about, there's so many things running through my mind. You say, well, preacher, I have friends from high school that I spent a lot of time with in high school that I haven't seen in 25 years. I can still consider them my friends. Yeah, but you don't have a close, meaningful relationship with them. I'm not saying that if you don't read your Bible every day that God's not your friend. He is your friend. You just don't have the relationship with Him that He really desires for you to have with Him. See, Jesus Christ didn't come to just give us life. He came to give us life more abundant. I'm thankful that I have eternal life. I'm thankful for heaven. I am. Praise the Lord. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm thankful that my sins are forgiven, that I have a clean, my whiteboard, I used to say clean slate, but my whiteboard is clean. My sins are gone. Thrown in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. Thrown as far as the east from the west, they're gone. Amen. And God is my Father. I'm His Son. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? We are the children of God. But what if at the time of salvation I never spoke to God again? What if I never spent time with Him again? What if I started out and spent 5 years in a meaningful relationship with Him and then stopped? In other words, God desires a meaningful relationship with us. Do you have a meaningful relationship? In other words, if you have a meaningful relationship with God, if you have a meaningful, personal relationship with God, it will impact your life now. I'm thankful it impacts my life for the future. I'm going to heaven. But see, He wants to impact your life now. You want joy unspeakable and full of glory? Have a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to be able to overcome adversity in your life? Have a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Hello? Life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying life as a Christian, that means your relationship with God isn't where it should be. Joy is not dictated by circumstance. Happiness is. Happiness is happenstance. Joy is not dictated by happenstance or by situations or life. See, joy you can have every day. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can have that true, genuine walk with God and therefore have joy every day. Enoch walked with God. He walked with Him physically. We walk with Him spiritually. By what? Reading the book. You say, preacher, where does it say we're to read the book? Well, Psalm 1 says, meditate on it there day and night. Psalm 119, on and on and on. And there are great examples of great saints who spent time with God. We think about Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day, and David, and Abraham says he got up early in the morning. And I'm telling you, we have examples over and over again of those who had a personal daily walk with the Lord. How do I have a personal daily walk? Well, number one, read your Bible and pray. There are also some good tools that you can have in your arsenal. One thing is, if you've never read Brother Stewart's book on engaging God, this is in our bookstore. It's a very good read. It'll help you in your personal daily walk with God. You can also have a devotion like this, and there's Utmost for His Highest. This is Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. We have several by Paul Chappell, which are very good. I use those with my kids in the morning there at breakfast and have a family devotional. I want to encourage you to have a family devotional. I haven't been as consistent as I ought to be over the years, but I always come back to it. Always come back to it. Our family gets in disarray a little bit, then we come back to having that family devotion. You've got to keep at it. Don't give up. Hello? Just keep at it. Have that family devotion. You say, well, my kids don't get bored. Well, just take a matter of 5 or 10 minutes. Read a devotional like this to them and pray together. Around the breakfast table or around the supper table. Maybe it's at night. I know John and Aaron, I think y'all's is at night, right? Y'all do y'all's at night. I know John has been on fire for a good long time after the stewardship or conference with Brother Stewart. But having that devotional time, I encourage you. You like to read? Some of you don't. Most of you don't anymore. I do. There's some good biographies. If you want some suggestions, let me know. I'd encourage you to read some good biographies instead of some of that stuff you're reading. I don't have to go into that, do I? You can get a one-book Bible commentary, just a single volume like this. This happens to be by F.B. Meyer. They kind of put some of his stuff together. But the best one I would encourage you to get is Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry, you can get it in one volume. It's an old classic, and Matthew Henry is really very, very good. So I would encourage you. You say, well, preacher, I'm not understanding what I'm reading. Well, then certainly pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. I hope that you're praying that. Psalm says, open thou mine eyes that I may understand and behold wondrous things out of thy law. We ought to pray that way, right? But there's some good men, some good ladies who have written some things on the Word of God. You can get those and you can read what they have to say about that particular scripture, and it can help you. Just remember, it's not the Word of God. It's there to help you. A good Bible dictionary, I bought this. This is probably one of the first books I bought years ago. This is a Victorial Bible Dictionary. A good Bible dictionary, a good Bible handbook, Haley's Bible handbook, one of those handbooks will be a real blessing to you, I promise you. If you just have, and really your library doesn't have to be like mine. Some of y'all been in my office. Really, you could have 6 or 7 books that could really be a blessing to you and a help to you in having that daily walk. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't done that, you're a new Christian, you say, preacher, I just didn't know what to do. Well, here you go. Very practical. Read your Bible. Pray. Doesn't have to take 35 minutes. You may start out with 5 minutes in the morning before you go to work. But then, Lord willing, you'll work your way up a little bit and have that meaningful daily walk with the Lord. And so we'll talk more about it here in the next few weeks. Enoch walked with God. First off, by having a personal walk with Him. In other words, he had personal conversations with God. He literally walked with God. But we walk with God inwardly. He walked with the living Word. We walk with the written Word. This is God's letter to us, how He communicates with us. How are we to walk with God? Communication. First off, you must meet the Savior. I hope this morning you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Most meaningful relationship you will ever have. Greatest decision you'll ever make in this life is to accept Christ as your Savior. And then as a Christian, the greatest decision you will make, and it does require a choice on your part, to walk with God. Amen. To discipline yourself. Oh, nobody likes that word. To have a personal relationship with Him. I hope that you would consider that today. Let's all stand. How is your walk with God this morning? How is your walk with God? Hymn 154, Jesus is calling, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a personal God who cares about us and is interested in us and having a personal relationship. I pray each of us would examine ourselves and examine our walk with You. And Lord, if it's not where it should be, help us, Lord, to get back to it. Help us, Lord, to implement some things in our life that would get us up in the morning and before work and to have that daily and prayer time with You and Bible reading time. Lord, that we just want to thank You, God, for loving us, sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that You just again help us. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 154, Jesus is